Hey, it's Heath Mulliken of the Double Dropkick Show, and I want to remind you about the brawl at Broad River Electric. Saturday, August the 9th, 8 p.m. at the Broad River Auditorium. Davey Richards from TNA is going to be there and should be Hall of Famer. One half of the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, will be at this event. You can go online and buy your tickets. This supports some great, great charities, and the Double Dropkick Show is proud to partner with these guys as they put on what's going to be a phenomenal event. Click on the banner right here on this episode. Get your tickets online. And finally, this episode of the Double Dropkick Show is a little bit different because we don't talk about wrestling. We talk about the movies you grew up with. It's summer movie season, and listen to Mark and I talk about the movies that make us pop out of our seats. Have a great day and enjoy this episode of the Double Dropkick Show. Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I am Heath Mulliken.
And yo, Adrian. I'm Mark.
Hey, and let me tell you, we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, but it's summertime, Mark.
Yes, sir.
And summertime is movie time.
That's right.
And you and I, we're not doing this off the cuff. We have had requests from people, from some of our fans, to say, hey, you guys seem like cool cats. Can you delve into some pop culture?
We'd be happy to.
And so this show is always about the stuff you grew up with. We want to talk about summer movies. What are the summer movies that we grew up with, the movies, the experiences that we remember from childhood to today? Because and a lot of this came out, you and I were talking about, you went and saw the newest Godzilla.
Yeah.
You were fairly disappointed.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah, it was awful. I feel that I paid 3D money to watch the Olsen twin sister and Walter White and the guy from Kick-Ass talk about Godzilla. That's just the way I felt after watching the movie. I thought they ripped me off.
So we want to talk about things like that from our life, from our childhood. So not talking about wrestling day. That's
but
all
we
right.
can tie it in a little bit to wrestling.
Yeah. Yes. You know? Yes. We are.
Yeah,
hey,
because there's
everything comes back
everything
to wrestling.
Comes back to wrestling with us because a good movie. That's the way a good wrestling program should be laid out.
That's right.
Introduce the characters.
Yes.
Introduce the conflict. Scene in act two, you put the babyface in a situation that it looks like they're never going to be able to get out of. And then at the very end, the babyface finds that reserve that they have.
Yes.
That thing that just lets them do when other people would quit, like firemen. When everybody's running out of a building and it's on fire, they're running in. And the babyface digs down, finds that, and he overcomes evil in the end. So every successful wrestling program and match, to me, should be laid out like a great action movie.
Yeah. So let's talk about the first movie I want to throw out here. The Babyface of Babyfaces, 1984, Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah.
Karate Kid. Number one, I remember going to see that with Tracy Sanders. Mark's college roommate.
Yes, sir.
And our good friend, class of 93.
Who I can tell you loves him some donuts. And he will, like nobody, even you don't know what I'm talking about. Right. You have to live with a fella to get that. So Tracy, when you hear this, just remember it. Them donuts want you to eat them.
I remember Karate Kid. When you're a kid watching that movie, such an engrossing movie. The whole thing with Pat Morita. I'm not talking about the Jackie Chan version. I'm talking about Pat Morita, who got an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
And should have won. Let's be honest. I always
thought that was a really, really good movie about a cool guy who had some dork move to town and ruin his life.
One of the classic villains, Johnny Lawrence.
Johnny Lawrence
of the Cobra Kai. Daniel LaRusso's got a buy. Love it. And when you came out of that movie, what were you doing? You wanted to go whack something?
Oh, I went home and was doing the crane kick on the bushes at the house.
You wanted to do the crane kick. You wanted to wash a car. Dad, do you need me? I was so mad because we had a brick house. Couldn't paint the house.
Really?
Yeah, like, Dad, can I paint
the house? Karate Kid is inspiring chores all around the country.
But just a great, came out and you were doing that.
I think I was nine.
Yeah, we had to be young then. I always tell people the two most important lessons I ever learned in life came from that movie.
Yeah.
Number one was my enemy deserves no mercy. And number two is, when all else fails, sweep the leg.
Yes, yes, yes. Get him a body bag, yeah. I mean, even at wrestling shows now, at certain points in the show, I will say.
Yeah, somebody's going to say that.
I will say that. So I love
that movie.
Love the Karate Kid.
I still love, it's one of my wife's favorite movies, one of my favorite movies. We watch it once a year, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, just tell you, a couple of years ago, it was before iPod Touch came out. I just had the iPod Classic. And I found, well, I was on a trip, and I watched Karate Kid on my iPod. Uh-huh. And so I've got the headphones in. Didn't realize how awesome the soundtrack to that
you're the,
movie
you're
is.
You're the best around. That was a great song.
And I actually bought the soundtrack, but just all the – it just hit. And but when you're watching it on an iPod and you got headphones, you hear everything.
Right.
And it was just – you know, what sums up your childhood? Well, Karate Kid.
Except
that I didn't know karate and I did get bullied.
Karate.
And I never overcame them.
Yeah. Karate Kid, Fruit Loops, and pro wrestling. That's childhood.
That's what we grew up with. Mark, what's one of your...
My first memory, and I know you love this movie because we've talked about, you know, as much as we love wrestling, we both love Star Wars. And I saw Star Wars at a drive-in movie theater, sitting in the back seat between my mom and daddy asking questions. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. This is the truth. My first memory is of watching Star Wars at that drive-in. And that scene, I remember the scene that I remember. You know, I guess you just kind of come into consciousness at some point in life.
Yeah.
And the scene that brought me into consciousness was when they were in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon and they gunned it and went into hyperspace and hyperspeed and all that stuff. I remember that as a kid.
Wow.
And just, I loved Chewbacca. Just being enamored with Chewbacca.
Yeah.
From being at such a young age. So, in those movies.
Yeah.
Where they followed, and there's some new ones coming out. I'm just as excited about them coming out because I really, really hope that they do them well, and I think they will. See, what J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek, which we both know you either like Star Trek or Star Wars. You can like them both, but you always like one more than the other.
Exactly.
And we're both Star Wars guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But not a huge Star Trek fan, but those Star Trek movies are really good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a more of a Star Trek, even back to the old movies. I'm more of a Star Trek movie fan than I ever was of the TV show.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And with the
Wrath of Khan, that's a great movie.
Oh
God.
When the episodes 1, 2, and 3 came out for Star Wars, they all came out in May, if I'm not mistaken. And I had parents. We would take the youth group to the midnight show.
Right.
Like kids would go to school late the Friday. And I had parents when episode 3, hey, you are taking the kids. And those were just some great memories for me. I remember this is before the new theaters opened in Anderson. We had to go see episode 1 in Seneca.
Yeah.
And I got there. We knew when tickets were going on sale. And this is before Fandango, before the internet. And had to go wait in line. We were like 10th in line. But there was a youth pastor and a kid from his youth group.
When episode 3 came out, internet.
I'm sorry. This is episode 1. It's episode 1. Okay. And
before the internet was the internet that we
right and so I guess that was 98
something
maybe
like
99.
That 98, 99, yeah.
But just going to see, to me, a movie is about the quality of the movie. Is it a good movie?
Right.
Who am I seeing it with? And for me, that was one of the great things about being a youth pastor. You take kids.
Right. Did you like the prequels?
All right, you have to understand that I have signed a contract. It's very hard for me. It's very hard for me to criticize Star Wars.
Right.
Even when I know I should and could, there's something within me. And you know, that's the baby face. That's the baby face.
You can't insult Ric Flair either, can you?
No. Yeah. I can't.
Right.
You know, when you make fun of Ric Flair for crying so much, I feel bad. I feel bad.
Yeah.
But, you know... This is what I told somebody.
I know what you mean, because I kind of feel that way.
This is what I told somebody about episode 3 before it came out. Episode 3, they could have used sock puppets.
Yeah.
I was so desperate to know the story. How's this guy become Darth Vader?
Right.
I don't care how
that
you tell me.
That was it for me, too.
I just want to know.
And I'll tell you what I read recently. You know who Topher Grace is? He played Venom in Spider-Man 3. Yeah, he was on that '70s show. Apparently, he wanted to teach himself about editing. Mm-hmm. So he took the three prequels and he edited them into one movie.
Yeah.
And only a few people have seen it because obviously he can't release it.
Right.
But apparently it takes the three movies, boils them down into one, and almost everything from the first one's gone.
Right.
Jar Jar's gone.
Right.
It just kind of starts with that Darth Maul thing, and then, you know, you get into it. And apparently it's phenomenal.
Really?
I don't know if I'll ever get the chance to see it, but I would love to see it boiled down.
We'll have to talk to our friends at Bootleg 101 and see what that happened. Yeah, just some great,
that's great good stuff right there. I mean, I've still got my Millennium Falcon and my Slave One.
You know, I'm gonna tell you this. That Millennium Falcon, I don't know about yours. Mine, the leg thing wasn't gimmicked right for mine.
Really?
Never would stay out.
Oh, mine still. Oh, I think it does anyway. I don't know. I mean, it ain't like I get it out and play with it every day. But, I mean, I know it's...
I think mine's...
You mean the front leg that you held on to fly it with?
Yeah, couldn't get it. Like, when it came time to stand the Millennium Falcon up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing.
You know, maybe I do remember that, man. None of those things were made...
To last.
I mean, they weren't. They were made at a better quality than the toys they make today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
But I mean, they were made to be played with, and they wore out
quick. Oh, yeah. And
nobody was collecting stuff back then. When you find some nerd who does have a Millennium Falcon in the box.
Slap him.
That's why they're so expensive, because he was doing something way ahead of his time.
I just, you know, Toy Story 2. Play with the toys.
That's right.
Toys are meant to be played
even
with.
Even today, occasionally, I'll buy an action figure. It's coming out of the pack, and I'm going to put it up on something. You know what I mean? And it won't be there for maybe a year, and I'll take it down and put another one up there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a Bray Wyatt right now. If anybody can tell me where to find a Bray Wyatt action figure. I know I can get it on Ringside Collectibles, but they're like $40.
Can you get it at can you click on the banner?
You might be able to click on that banner and get it, but they sell out so fast.
Yeah.
You know, because they're elite figures. They're collectible.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. I remember 1989. And this to the even.
It amazes me how you remember dates. Because I got some movies on my stuff. I don't even know if they're summer movies. I just picked them.
Well, some of them, I just checked and knew and remembered. 89, it was most. I don't know that there's going to be a movie that tops this one as far as anticipation. The first Batman.
Yeah.
The Tim Burton Batman came out in summertime. That's the first movie. And this was, we grew up in Pendleton. Anderson back then had Watson Village. Yeah. You had the Osteen. Don't ever go to the Osteen. It's not there anymore.
Yeah, it's not there anymore.
Belvedere Plaza.
Yeah.
And the mall.
Marketplace.
Marketplace and the mall. Belvedere Plaza was probably the smallest theater of all of them in Anderson.
Yeah, the one that was behind where Mose is at.
Yeah.
Right?
And it got Batman.
Really?
And my mom took us.
I saw it in Clemson at the Astro.
But my mom went. We got tickets early because we didn't want it to sell out. And me and my mom and Mac McGill, we went to Bible school, and then we went to Batman.
Right.
And it was the first showing, and it was packed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking at it, what is that, 25 years later, I have a lot of criticisms about that movie. I saw that movie four times that summer.
Really?
At the Belvedere.
I don't know how many times I watched it on VHS. I remember it being one of the first VHSs I bought.
But there is nothing to me when it comes to movies. There's nothing like watching a movie in a packed theater.
I'm just the opposite.
See, I either want it to be on opening night, I want it to be packed, and I want it to be...
Well, yeah, because at opening night show, that's the rabid crowd.
Right.
Yeah, I get you.
Or I want to it just be me and my family.
Right. That's what I prefer. I usually wait a few weeks to go see.
But I love, you know, but now, just for example, when I went and saw Spider-Man, and thank goodness, they don't do midnight shows anymore. They do them at 8. Right. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But like when I went and saw Spider-Man 2... It was just, there wasn't a big crowd. Now, X-Men, there was a big crowd for that.
That X-Men movie.
Much better reaction.
By the way.
But I just remember that Batman movie, my mom didn't even sit with it. It was so crowded. Mac and I got seats together. My mom sat like on the front row.
Wow.
God bless her.
Yeah.
She hadn't brought us our snacks today.
She hadn't, has she? She's slipping.
She's slipping. She hadn't been feeling good.
To me, though, I love the feeling when I walk into a movie theater, that smell of popcorn and cherry soda.
Yeah.
I love it, man. Yeah. I love going to the movies. Yeah. I always have.
Yeah.
You can lose yourself for a couple of hours. If something's bothering me,
yeah,
a lot of times that's what I'll do is go to the movies.
Yeah. I go to the movies by myself
sometimes. Too.
If I just need a break. I love taking my kids to the movies. To me, it's an experience.
Right.
And so when I pay good money, and we'll talk about some movies that we paid good money for that we get there and the crowd's good, and it's just, you know.
Yeah,
just
like Godzilla.
Yeah. Which I have not, based on
I'd watch it on DVD. I just wouldn't go out and see it. I mean, I wouldn't spend money to watch it in 3D. If you want to see, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but since we're a wrestling show,
yeah.
Have you seen Pacific Rim?
I have seen Pacific
that's
Rim.
That's what I wanted Godzilla to be.
Yeah, Pacific Rim was awesome.
That's an awesome movie, man.
You like, very underrated,
in my opinion. If you like good wrestling and good monster movies, you need to watch that, because it's giant monsters wrestling giant robots.
Yes.
And just destroying cities.
Yes,
and,
yes.
I mean, there was none of that in Godzilla. There and was some of that in Godzilla, don't get me wrong, but I mean, it was like 15, 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It was talking about Godzilla and is showing him swimming in the water.
Yeah.
But not as it'd be like his tail or the hump, the humps on his back. Yeah. And then at the end he shows up and he goes on a little mini rampage, but it just didn't last long. I mean, it was 10 or 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, that's no.
And that worked for one of my other movies, if it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
That worked for the movie that did that originally and did it better than any other movie was Jaws, which coincidentally, I'll be 39 in August, and so will Jaws. So it came out within a few. They both come out in August of 75. I was born in August of 75. And that's one of my favorite movies of all time. It was the original summer blockbuster.
Yeah. Now, did you ever see it in the theater?
No, I never have. I saw Jaws 3D in the theater.
I think I saw Jaws 4 in the theater.
That's awful. That's even worse than Jaws 3.
Yeah. Jaws 2 is pretty bad, too.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Jaws 1.
The first Jaws, that scene with Quint and when they're in the... they're in the cabin and they're talking. He's telling them about being on the USS Indianapolis. If I had to pick my favorite scene from any movie ever, I'm not saying it would be on the list or be number one, but it's in the conversation of, to me, greatest scenes ever from any movie.
I absolutely agree with you.
That monologue that he delivered.
Isn't that totally unscripted?
I don't know if it's totally unscripted. I don't want to misspeak, but I mean, I think they knew what they were going to say.
Yeah.
But I think that Robert Shaw rewrote that.
Yeah.
That's the way I understand it, that they had a script for it, but he took it and reworded it in his voice.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Took out their words, used words that would sound more natural to him, which is what most really good actors do. They give them the script. That's why I think Randy Orton's awful.
Yeah.
On the microphone, because you take a guy like you take some other guy that knows how to word it. You give him what you want him to say. And they put it in their voice.
Right.
Some guys can do that. Some guys can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I do know the scene where Snyder's like, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
That was totally improvised.
That was improvised. Yes. But you think about, if you go back and watch that movie, have you watched it lately?
It's been a couple of months.
Just a few months. I'm impressed. I bought the Blu-ray last year when it came out. And it's an incredible print of this movie. Oh. I mean, it restores this movie beautifully, man. It's just it changes the entire experience of watching it. It's so sharp. The picture's so good on that Blu-ray. But man, as I watched it, I started noticing all of these cliches that you see in movies today.
Yeah,
that it was the first one to do. There's two movies like Jaws and Apocalypse Now.
Yeah,
you can watch both of those movies back, and you will just see the influence they've had on pop culture.
Now, see, Apocalypse Now, it was hard for me to... I didn't really like that movie.
Really? I love it.
I love it. It was really hard. Maybe I just need to go back and rewatch it, but it was It was
it's
hard
a dark,
to watch.
Disturbing movie.
Yeah, and maybe I was not, in too good of a mood
not,
to watch it.
You are not a dark, disturbing individual.
Not today, anyway.
That song, R.E.M., Shiny Happy People.
I'm shiny.
That's you. You're shiny happy people.
I'm the Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, yeah. You're like Ricky Steamboat. I'm kind of like Kane.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really enjoyed that movie.
You talk about Jaws, and you talk about the special effects, and if you've seen any special features on Jaws, you know how poorly the shark worked.
Right. That was the original point we were making, I think.
Yeah. It just was this, if you want it, there was no CGI. It had not been invented.
Yeah, they put the shark in the water, and it sunk.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what, I mean, and it was supposed to be featured very prominently in the movie, but because of mechanical
And that made the movie even better.
And that made it great. It did not make Godzilla great. That was the original point that we're bringing back around.
Yeah.
It worked for Jaws. To me, it didn't work. I know a lot of people liked Godzilla. Didn't work for me.
So let's go to three movies I want to throw out, a series of movies. So you go from Jaws, where technical difficulties mean you change the way you shoot the movie. To me, the three movies I'm about to name are the three Transformer movies.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked, I can say liked, I liked the first one.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And
enough
that
I bought it on Blu-ray. How
right.
about that?
Yeah, that was a summer movie, and that was a good movie, and enjoyed it, and it was something you hadn't seen. So the Transformers themselves, the CGI is so intricate, and it's just like almost too much. Then you get to Transformers 2. Transformers 2, I was speaking at a camp in Michigan. It was a family camp. So kids are there with their families, and at night, we would have the evening service that was everybody, and then the youth would do an activity. So my friend that's in charge of the youth part, he's like, man, you know, we'll let somebody else do the activity. We're going to go into town and see Transformers 2. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. So we drive into this old town, and it's like the old theater, like off of Back to the Future, where it's got the marquee, and it's the one-screen theater, and you walk down into it, and just so pumped, and that movie was so terrible.
Yeah.
So terrible.
Yeah, it was not good.
Such a bad experience. There weren't a lot of people there. It was awkward. Then the third Transformers, again, I was speaking at a camp, got finished that Friday at the camp, and my flight wasn't until Saturday morning. So one of the guys and one of his friends, you know, took me out to eat. We went and saw Transformers 3, packed house. I did like the whole moon storyline. I was okay with that, but there was so much wrong with that movie.
I know you and I have had this discussion. I think that in the Transformers leaving and allowing a city to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Batman would have never done that to Gotham.
Right.
And I told my nephew, we saw it together, and he still says this to me occasionally when we're watching a movie, that's not what heroes do.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's not – Batman never got his feelings hurt so bad that he would allow Gotham City to be destroyed to prove the point that they needed Batman.
Right.
He would have just taken – matter of fact, he would have allowed himself to be main suspect in murder investigation.
Yeah, yeah.
Before he would allow Gotham to get ruined, he'd take the heat.
Yeah, and I only put those the two and three in there because we went and saw Transformers 3. I think we went to Applebee's, hung out, and then I spent the night in the Milwaukee airport.
Boy, talk about mediocrity.
And
saw Transformers 3, and then went to Applebee's.
But they hit him. I was in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin, so they bought me one of those cheesehead things, like for the Packers. Mm-hmm. I used that for a pillow and slept in the airport, and just stuff like that. I remember, and I just remember I wishing that movie had been a whole lot better.
No, it had some good action in it. I thought the action was really good. It was a huge problem for me that the heroes abandoned Earth.
Here's as we're recording this, Transformers 4 comes out tonight.
Right.
Comes out today, the day we're recording this. Let me tell you, Megatron is one of the baddest villains ever.
Yeah.
Except in the Transformer movies.
True.
Yeah, he's just like, lame, yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Starscream was like the second in command guy on the cartoon.
Yeah.
All terrible. He's just like a regular goon.
Yeah.
Henchman.
Yeah. And he was always the, he was always telling Megatron that he wasn't being evil enough.
Yeah.
On the
yeah.
cartoon, which I, there was always that conflict between the two of them where he would go, why, you know, why are you doing this? Why aren't you being evil? You're not being evil enough.
And listen, and let's just, and correct me if I'm wrong. We grew up on Transformer cartoons.
Yeah.
The Dinobots, in my opinion, killed the cartoon.
I don't even remember the Dinobots.
They're going to kill the movie. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I probably so.
It's yeah, but Michael Bay going to put the. It's going to have a lot of action anyway.
Anyway,
I you know bad movies, bad experiences with Transformers. Yeah, I'm heartbroken.
I'll tell you a good one I had recently.
Okay,
was 22 Jump Street.
Really? Was
oh,
it good?
Man.
I haven't seen the first
it
one
is,
yet.
Oh, you hadn't?
No.
Well, it is one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long
yeah.
time, man. My wife and I mean, we laughed the entire time. Not just us. Everybody in the
yeah.
theater was just
and that makes it good.
Laughter.
When you're in a full theater and everybody's laughing,
yeah.
it's awesome.
It is a good feeling, man. And I just walked out of it. It was so good because they constantly referenced the fact that they were a sequel to the first movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they just, hey, we're not going to be at 21 Jump Street. We had to move across the street to 22 Jump Street, and they stop and turn around, and you look back across the street, and it's got the fence around it, and it says under construction 23 Jump Street. You know, I mean, just stuff like that. They
yeah.
did the entire movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They had built a big. By the way, spoiler alert, if you're listening to this show, they built a big office for Ice Cube. And
yeah.
they walk in and go, look at that office. It's like a big cube of ice. I mean, you know, it was just jokes like that the whole time.
Yeah.
Where they were self-referential kind of jokes that they were making.
Kind of breaking the fourth wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Letting you in on the joke of everything. It was great, man.
See, with
it
three kids great. Now, those are the kind
yeah,
of
you're not going to. Yeah, don't take your kids.
No,
by
no.
the way. Do
no.
not, under any circumstances, take a child to see that movie.
Probably the most packed movie I've ever been to because there were people sitting in the aisles. It was 96, and it was and I, the movie was supposed to come out July 4th because the name of the movie is Independence Day.
Yeah,
it was such a big movie they kept moving forward. It ends up coming out July 2nd. I was traveling on a summer ministry team for Southern Wesleyan. We had a week off. We're in Springfield, Massachusetts. We went that night, opening night. We'd be playing it all week. We go to see Independence Day. This place is packed. And it's the biggest. It's a lot bigger than the theaters in Anderson, I tell you that.
Yeah.
It's packed. And you're watching this movie. And let me tell you, when the fire is coming and that dog is running away from the fire and he jumps in that side door in that tunnel, almost a standing ovation. And
yeah.
I mean, dude, that was 18 years ago.
Wow.
And I remember the people I was with. I remember that reaction.
Independence
and it was the
Day
cool,
was 18 years ago.
That was 18 years ago. And that was a cool
every
movie.
Once in a while you are confronted with how old you're getting.
Yeah.
And that just did it for me, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's 18. I mean, there are people that's never seen that movie. How
yeah.
do you not see that?
Yeah,
you should, I mean, matter of fact, next week, July 4th, we need to watch. I need to see if that's on Blu-ray.
Mark it down. It is.
Even that speech.
Yeah.
This is our Independence
yeah.
Day.
Yeah. That's a good movie.
They've been trying to make a sequel for it. That's probably Jeff Goldblum, in my opinion. I'm not a huge Jeff Goldblum fan. In my opinion, he's great in Independence Day and the first Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's what I
was
going to say, Jurassic Park. The Fly. He was good in The Fly.
Never seen The Fly. Not a horror fan guy.
Yeah,
not
see, I am. I love a good horror movie. I saw the reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street in the theaters. I saw a couple of the original Friday the 13th in the theaters. And I saw a few Nightmare on Elm Streets in the theaters back
yeah.
in the day. I've gone to see all three of the reboot of Texas Chainsaw Massacres, the Halloweens.
Do
I see them all.
Do you remember that you and I went and saw, I can't remember what number, Jason Goes to Hell?
Was it? Yeah.
Did
you go to that?
We went and
okay.
saw that together.
I knew that I saw it. Didn't
and
know
it
was with you.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was bad. He wasn't in it. Jason wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
There again, it didn't work. It was somebody else all the time. He's in the movie for like the last 5 or 10 minutes, and then right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Friday the 13th movie without Jason in it. But it had the great setup, the great foreshadowing of the of the Freddy Krueger hand. I didn't know that was you I went with.
Yeah, because I typically didn't go to see movies like that. But you did.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if there was anybody else with us. Because I think that was senior year.
I thought Charlie Privett.
Might have been. Might have been Charlie
Privett. Because that's who I remember, thought I remembered seeing it with. Maybe Derek.
Derek, yeah. Now we had a good crew, man.
Didn't one of us, man, maybe this was a different movie. It might be Terminator 2. Did we see Terminator 2?
I didn't see Terminator 2 with you guys.
One time we snuck some drinks in, and you know, now you got the steps that lead down in the theaters. But at the time, like you were talking earlier, it was just a slope.
Yeah,
floor.
It's just a slope, yeah.
Well, we had a backpack with snacks in it.
Yeah.
And I remember having a can of soda, and I took it out and dropped it, and it was really quiet in the theater.
Yeah.
And all you could hear is this soda can rolling down. And then it hit the front wall.
Dude, those were the days. I remember this would have been summer. Were we in youth group? I think we were in youth group. And one night after church, this is when you're kind of that age where you don't really have to call. You're in that in-between of, well, do I really – I'm going to call and just let my parents know this is what I'm doing. I don't have to call and really get permission.
Right, right. You're kind of at that – you got a little more freedom.
But we left church. You know, we went to church on Wednesday night, and then we went to Watson Village, which is on the other side of Anderson.
Yeah, down at Homeland Park.
Yeah, because Jurassic Park was on the dollar movie circuit.
Yeah.
It had been out. And we snuck in, like, we went to Burger King. We snuck in, like, I think Stephanie Roll Finley emptied her backpack. And it was like me and her, Rusty T's. I think Carrie was with us, maybe Brad. It was, you know, just stuff like that. You just remember we were sitting there and basically having a picnic in Jurassic Park. And, it's just.
Yeah, because there's a Burger King right across the street.
Yeah, I don't even know if that.
Nobody that's
still
listening
there.
To this is gonna care where the Burger King is at. But I know where you're talking
about. That's right.
I know that Burger King, man. I've eaten there a lot of times over the years because my grandma lives over that way.
Oh, cool. And you know, and the new Batman that have come out, they have been good. Man of Steel came out. Most of the comic book hero movies.
Oh man!
Now.
The Dark Knight was phenomenal.
Yeah, when Dark Knight Rises came out, we did the watched all three of them. Like we went, you could pay $20 and you watched all. And that
really,
was,
I was kind of let down with the third one, but I think it's because the second one was so good.
Yeah, and Batman's not in the third one.
Right.
I mean, again, I've signed a contract. I'm not allowed to criticize.
Yeah, if Batman's your favorite superhero,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, what other movie? I know you got one superhero.
Oh, before I set you off.
Yeah.
Let me talk about my favorite action hero from the 80s, Stallone.
Yes.
I saw First Blood Part 2, my first R-rated movie.
Yep.
Saw that in the movie theater, and I've been in love with that movie ever since. It's still... All those First Blood movies, the first one and the second one especially.
Yeah.
Heavy rotation at the house, but I also saw Rocky IV.
Yes.
And you talk about people erupting.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, I remember that they gave away a T-shirt.
Really?
At the beginning of it with the two fists, the Soviet glove, and the U.S. And that was like at the height of the Cold War.
Yeah.
All that was going on. We were scared. I mean, I can not scared, but I mean, as a kid, you really think, man, we might wind up going to war with Russia, you know? Yeah. Kids that are today don't realize how close it felt like we were at the time.
Yeah.
But when Rocky starts making his comeback, in that fight with Drago,
cut. It's a bad cut.
And he starts coming back. People got on their feet and watched the end of that movie.
And you were chanting.
People don't do that in movies anymore.
No.
They just sit there and they'd rather look at their cell phone and bother the people around them.
Right.
Nobody goes to the movie. Why do you I'm going to go off on a rant here.
Go do it, man. Do it.
Why do you go to the movies to look at your dang cell phone?
Yeah.
Put that doggone cell phone up.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go there. But it ought to be legal to get up, slap somebody in the back of the head if they take it. And if you're one of those people that's listening and you play it on your cell phone in the middle of a movie, the rest of us think you're look at my telephone. You're part of the problem in our society because you think that you ought to be able to sit in a crowded, dark movie theater and light the whole thing up with a doggone cell phone.
And that's the thing is We are paying for the experience. We are paying for the escape, for that to be taken somewhere mentally, emotionally. That's what Rocky did. Rocky, yes. Those two guys were fighting.
Right.
And Rocky could have died.
We suspended our disbelief.
And you were chanting and you were into it. You were so emotionally invested into it. And that's why if you're listening to this and you are a wrestling promoter, go watch Rocky IV.
That's right. Rocky IV is the perfect. And Karate Kid. Rocky IV and Karate Kid both.
Yeah.
Lay it out perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, because to me, when I go to see wrestling, I am paying for that emotional experience. Give me a reason to pop out of my chair and scream like I'm a kid again.
Yep.
That's what I want. I'm paying for that. I'm not paying necessarily for you to do moves. I'm not paying just to get out of the house. I'm paying for an experience.
Make me feel something.
Yeah, and so many times, especially, this is not a knock on independent wrestling, but you got to have a reason. Why are these two guys wrestling? Why are they fighting? Do they like each other? Give me
a reason.
Give me a reason to cheer.
What you're doing?
Yes, and the best summer movies, the ones we grew up on, did that.
Yeah,
you got emotionally. You were hooked. You were invested. And when somebody pulls out a cell phone, it just ruins.
It's like somebody.
It reminds you that you're living on planet Earth.
Right.
And life's not perfect.
Like in the middle of a match when they go and pull the apron of the ring up.
Yeah.
And look over the seven weapons laid there to go find the one that they want to use for the spot that they're going to set up.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I totally agree.
Yeah. It takes me out of it. And I just think I don't know the word, man. It's just disrespectful to the people around you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who are you?
Yeah. I mean, who are you? Are you the president?
Yeah.
People need to get in touch with you.
Lord, I'm sure if somebody got a text that mama just got in a car wreck, you might want to take that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I keep mine in my pocket. You might let me, hey, what's good? But you don't take it out and start fooling with it.
Yeah.
In a movie, I've been in movies where people's cell phones have rang and they've answered it and talked.
Oh, my.
Oh, man, I'm just watching this movie. What is wrong with you?
I had somebody do that in church.
Did you really?
Yeah, I needed you there.
Did you really? I did. I'll tell you off air about something that happened one time when I was speaking and a phone went off. I was doing a public speaking engagement and a guy's cell phone went off and I told everybody, all right, let's stop for a minute. Let him answer his telephone.
Oh, my.
He was going, oh, man.
Now, I heard about one time, I heard about a pastor whose cell phone rang while he was on the platform, and he answered it and talked. Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
That church is no longer in existence.
Wow.
Crazy stuff. So
I just hate cell phones. I do. I think they have ruined.
Yeah, because
they've ruined everything.
Like you go to a fireworks show, and you're not watching the fireworks show, you're watching your screen where you're videoing
Louis
the fireworks.
Louis C.K. talked about seeing people at their children's concerts and they're holding the phone up and he says, if you just move that phone 3 inches to the left, you'd get an HD picture of what's going on up there. I don't understand, because and he's also said this, this is not original, I'm giving him credit for it because I just think it's true.
Yeah,
you can post these videos on Facebook all day long, nobody's watching them. Yeah. Even the people that like them are not watching them.
Right. Except for Snot Bubble Saturday.
Except for Snot Bubble Saturday. No, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about just, you post a music video or a video of things. That's one thing. But the cell phone videos of your kids doing something that you think's adorable.
Yeah.
None of us are watching.
Nah. I don't have time to watch people's videos like that because I'm busy posting videos of my kids.
That's right.
Oh, man.
I didn't mean to hit too close to home.
No. What a world we live in. Speaking of hitting too close to home.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and get it out there. Those of you who listen to our show understand that occasionally, as we make lists you've probably picked up on the fact that Heath will always pick a topic that he knows will elicit a response where I go off kind of like I just did about cell phones.
Yeah.
He'll, you know, include a guy like Rick Martel on a list of wrestlers just to get under my skin. He'll say that one of his favorite moments where he marked out was Santino and Mick Foley in the Royal Rumble because he knows it's going to get a response from me. And oftentimes I give Heath a hard time about things and I pick at him a little bit and I feel that it is my duty to return the favor and I'm going to give him an opportunity to lob some bombs at me right now. And that's because I'm going to say that I didn't like Man of Steel because Superman would not destroy an entire city with zero regard for the human life that was being taken and that he would not break his enemy's neck at the end and kill him. But I did, however, like Superman Returns.
Oh.
Because taking the super kid out of it, which I didn't like, that is a truer Superman than the one you got in Man of Steel. That scene on the airplane when he had almost died and he regained his strength and he looks at Lois and says, I got to go back. And he steps off the airplane and he flies back knowing that it's probably going to mean his death. That's what a hero does. That's what Superman would do.
But here's my question. Would a hero knock up his girlfriend and leave the planet for 5 years?
But he didn't know.
I don't. Hey, you know. If you're Superman, you know. You know how this stuff
Superman
works.
Superman doesn't have psychic powers.
Hey, you know. You know. Believe, I'm just telling you. The man, he, in Superman Returns. All right. First of all, Superman Returns is a sequel, not a reboot. It's a sequel, essentially, to Superman 2.
Correct.
They essentially, even in the opening credits and how they do it, it's like they're just remaking. Kevin Spacey, who's one of the great actors of our generation, I have the utmost respect for him. If he's in something, I see him. House of Cards, enough said. Kevin Spacey doesn't play Lex Luthor in that movie. He plays Gene Hackman playing Lex Luthor in that movie.
You think nothing, so?
I think so. I was totally hated it. The fact that him and the girl end up and somehow they have landed on a 10x10 island or with a helicopter at the end and stranded. What in the world? Terrible. The fact that he's got a son. Superman does not have a son. Terrible. The fact that his son is illegitimate. The fact that Lois Lane has moved on to Cyclops. Yeah. I'll tell you. Terrible. So, now at that point, he's been Superman for years. He's been off the planet for 5 years. Let's go to Man of Steel. Now, I agree with you. Not a perfect movie. In any stretch of the imagination. But he just, he's been Superman for 5 minutes. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, he doesn't know his own strength.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He's starting to fight the guy. He's not thinking. Does he have that sense of care for people? Yeah, but he's been Superman for 5 minutes. And fighting the guy, yes, they destroy a lot of buildings, and that's terrible. But I put that squarely on General Zod. General Zod introduced the steel chair, and if Superman uses
he's
it.
He's the one who brought the foreign object into the ring.
An alien object into the ring. And at the end, Superman, we could debate this. I could take both sides of this argument. He saves the life of the family. The family, they're just minding their own business, trying to take a train to Metropolis. They're just trying to see the sights. And General Zod's trying to kill him. And he has no recourse, other than maybe ripping out General Zod's eyes, than to make his neck do.
I contend that Superman would have done that before he would have killed him. Now, I will take this back if we see a sequel. And we are going to see a sequel.
Yes.
I mean, it's happening. It's being filmed right now. And it's discussed that Superman, because it's in the comic lore of Superman, it's in canon that he doesn't kill people.
Right.
So if this is the catalyst for that change in him,
yes,
then I have no problem with it. But as it stands right now at the end of that movie, the fact that he killed somebody,
yeah,
I just have issue with that.
Well, see that, and I go back
and
I
thought it was good up until that point, and I went, you lost me.
See, and I'll go back to Batman 89. Batmobile has machine guns and missiles.
Yeah.
Batman doesn't use a gun.
No.
Batman does not kill.
Right.
He doesn't shoot missiles.
He will take you up on the second floor and drop you.
Right. But he
but
will
he
not
kill you.
Right.
Yeah.
Which makes that's the difference between DC characters and Marvel characters.
Right. Right.
Marvel character will cut you.
Oh yeah, yeah. Marvel character might cut your liver out.
Yeah.
And eat it with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Superman Returns. I took my boys, my youth group boys, to see that movie. I tell you, I have not seen such disappointed. Like, I felt that they were disappointed in me.
Really?
Because we sat through that movie, and it's like they looked at me and says, you brought us to this piece of crap. You did this to us. This is your fault.
Even your wife on your honeymoon night. You have to say, that's the most disappointed you've ever seen. You can edit. Woo! By the way, you can edit that out if you want to.
Let me just tell you. It's the oldest ride in the park, but it's got the longest line.
You can take that out if you want to. I was like, it was just lobbed up there, and I had to say it, man. No,
but I was trying to think of something clean to refer. But they were so, and even I was so disappointed because this movie was so hyped up, and we hadn't had a Superman movie in.
Oh, years, man. Years, and they had been like, they'd start and stop, and then you finally got one.
And I agree,
it's not a great movie. But I don't think it's as bad as you think.
It's worse. It's worse than I think. I mean, how's Lex Luthor? How's he even out of jail? It's like he's got an old girlfriend. That man, do they not he tried to destroy the planet.
All right, well, we're talking about movies. Are you done? You feeling okay over there? I mean, folks, if you could see, Heath never works up a sweat, but he's sweating over there. I feel that I've brought him down.
Superman Returns. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, going to be great.
I hope so. What do you think about Affleck?
Did you see the picture of him in the bat suit?
Yeah.
Loved it.
Really?
They're going for that Dark Knight Returns kind of look. Huh. I think it's going to be good.
I hope so. I'm going to give him a chance.
I'm going to
give him a chance. Because I saw The Town, and he was great in The Town.
Phenomenal.
So I'm going to give him.
Argo was great.
Yeah, I haven't seen Argo.
Oh, Argo's great, man.
I need to check it out. But I also saw Daredevil. Yeah. So it's hard.
He was a young man then.
And I also thought, when I heard Heath Ledger announces the Joker, I thought, oh, that's going to be awful.
Yeah.
And I mean, who knew?
Yeah.
He's the greatest comic book villain ever come to the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who knew? I saw last summer, and I say that to say something else. I went and saw World War Z, Iron Man 3, Man of Steel, and Lone Ranger last summer.
Yeah.
And I mean, I saw other movies, but those four specifically, it just made me think Hollywood has decided that just good enough is just good enough.
Right. Right.
All those movies were just that. They were passable.
Yeah.
It was like the current WWE product.
Yeah, yeah.
It was there. It was certainly not a movie like Jaws that 39 years later people are going to be sitting there talking about any of those movies, I don't
think. Correct.
But it leads me to think that the best scripted stuff, entertainment, is on television.
Now. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Over the past few weeks, I've watched Hannibal.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it yet.
It's incredible.
Really?
But more incredible than that was True Detective.
Mm. Have you finished watching it yet?
Yes, I finished it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're talking about 8 hours of some of the most well-written dialogue, some of the most disturbing imagery, some of the most beautiful imagery, some of the biggest twists and turns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredibly well shot and well acted.
Yeah.
That show is the greatest 8 hours of television I've ever watched.
Yeah, there's so many times when they're interviewing Rust in the current day,
right?
And he'll talk for, you know, 5 minutes.
Right.
I have no idea what he says. I have no idea what he's talking about. But it's so engrossing. Yes,
it's captivating.
It is so captivating.
When he's got the crushed can and talking about how the people see our world as a sphere.
And he's doing the origami with that stuff.
Oh, man. He's just – McConaughey is – talk about a great actor coming into how great they really are.
Yeah.
I mean, he's phenomenal.
He is – and I thought Woody Harrelson was
by the way, great. Spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about the way the True Detective ends. I mean, I want to get that out there, because if you haven't seen it, not that I don't want people listening to the show, but you need to experience how good this show is, not listen to us tell you about how it ends.
Right.
But we might talk about it here directly.
Right.
So if you're spoiler listening alert. And you want to fast forward a few minutes, I will understand.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead. I apologize.
Yeah, the... Yeah, just such
the, well. To me, the character arc of McConaughey's his personality.
Yeah.
At the beginning, the first episode, he tells him that he's a pessimist. You know, he's what the glass half empty kind of guy. But at the end, the very last line of that show, it was when Woody Harrelson talks about the stars, and he said, "It looks like the darkness is winning." And the guy who had at the beginning said he was a pessimist says, "Man, I don't know, because it started out there was nothing but dark up there, and now you see all those stars, so it looks to me like the light might be winning."
Yeah, and
that was a beautiful line to end that show on.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, you just go dark, from being such a negative person to saying, "I don't know, maybe light is winning there."
Yeah, and you have this, you have these two guys who never hit it off, complete opposite personalities. Right. They go through so much in their partnership. It's such a dark case. It's such a depressing case.
Yeah.
To see, like you said, the arc, that's how they end.
Right.
That they're literally carrying each other out of the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, it was
against doctor's orders.
It was beautiful, man. That was a beautiful ending.
And you know, that's, you know, the next season is all new people.
Yeah, new people, new story.
And go out on top. Let me just say that. Exactly. I mean, that's...
Well, I've heard the guy who wrote this said they're just going to do two more seasons.
Really?
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Don't overstay your... So many shows overstay their welcome. He said he has two really good stories left to tell, so why force it past that?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. True Detective, I think, is 10 episodes.
It might be. I thought it was 8.
Might be. It's 8 to 10 episodes.
Yeah, it could be 10. I may be wrong.
Which, to me... is the perfect amount. If you go back,
I agree.
A lot of the non main network, you know, you talk about A&E and FX and it's 10 to 15 episodes.
Well, and if you're on network, like NBC, it's 22 episodes.
Right.
So
Arrow, I just finished watching the second season of Arrow. I love that show. Love that show. Really? One of the best comic book shows on TV. It is 23 episodes a season.
Right.
And even though I love that show, I was binge watching.
Right.
And it was overwhelming, because you binge watch an HBO show two days.
Right.
You get to binge watch Arrow, two seasons of that. It took me a couple weeks.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it was good. Don't get
me
wrong.
I'm binge watching Dexter on Netflix right now.
Never seen Dexter.
It's good. I had already seen the first two.
Yeah.
Seasons when Blockbuster was still in business, renting them, you know, because I had the deal where you rent them.
That's what we grew up on.
Blockbuster video. Yeah. If you ain't never rode your skateboard to a video store, you can't tell me nothing about life.
That's right. I wrecked a skateboard on the way to a video store.
I believe it.
There was parts of that last episode that were confusing to me.
Yeah.
The only disappointment to me was, you had gone through whatever it was, 7 or 8, 9 episodes of they can't find this guy, can't catch this guy.
Right.
And then it's like, boom, 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 you know, it's all wrapped up in a nice
bow. Yeah, you kind of had to hurry it into it.
But it made sense. It was logical.
Right. It was logical because it's not like they couldn't find him and then all of a sudden they just found him.
Right.
I mean, you're talking 20 years they were looking for this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they thought they had him.
Yeah, yeah.
They thought they had the guy, which leads me. You sent me a text message while I was watching it.
Yeah.
"Hey, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah." And I had said something on Facebook about it, I guess. And you said, "Hey, let me know when you see the shootout."
Yeah.
So what were, I never did because I wanted to talk about it here. What were you wanting to talk about with the shootout?
I just remember, I didn't realize this when I first saw it. They did that in one camera, one take.
Really? The when they went to the compound and they found the kids, is that what you're talking about? No. Or the one when they where, when they were the doing game. The undercover? Okay, yeah. Okay.
When they do the undercover, one camera, one take.
Really? I didn't realize that. I need that to go back. That was a good episode.
Because it's like they're doing all this stuff, and it's like in the midst, you think everything that can go wrong is going wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Until Rush just grabs his suspect, and they're I can't remember, what's Woody's character's name?
Oh, man.
Well, Woody just pulls up in the car and saves the day.
Yeah.
It's like you go from thinking, they're going to die.
Yeah, I mean, it was like
in you the talk back, about emotional
in the background, all these riots going on, and people are chasing them now. Yeah. They hid, and the guys come out the door, and they took off, and then somebody saw them and said, "Hey!" And they're shooting at them, and they're trying. That's just
it's intense.
That's a white knuckle episode.
Yes,
of if you ever want to see a great episode, that may be the best episode.
I absolutely agree.
I may say the one that I thought you were talking about, the shootout at the compound.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Where
they rescue the two kids?
Right.
And they have to go back and reenact everything. I thought that was a brilliant episode too.
And
they all were. Every episode left me going, "Wow, that was better than the last one."
The thing that I liked about the show, was the pacing. It never felt rushed.
No.
But it never felt too slow. But
it didn't feel like it was dragging either.
No, it was just like,
it moved at a logical pace.
It was just the pace it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Except for that last episode, it didn't, you'd just be on this, and then it would be white knuckle.
Right.
Something would happen. You'd be like, "Whoa, what's going on?"
And then they would argue about something for a little while. Yeah. Their interaction with one another, the way they talk to one another,
like,
brilliantly written.
That should be, "Hey, we're making a buddy movie, or we're going to do a movie, and then we're going to have these guys and their partners. For your homework, go watch True Detective."
Right.
Watch how Woody Harrelson.
Right.
Watch how they interact. If you're a writer and you're writing a movie, but TV today, the production quality, if you're telling me, okay, you can pay $50 and you can go see this movie or you can watch this TV series.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about, let's chase this rabbit. Man, that's totally cool. It's our show. We talk about what we want to.
Believe it or not, we're the bosses here.
When you think about TV that we grew up with, I remember not knowing what day or night or time the A-Team came on, for example.
That's right. Or Dukes of Hazzard.
You knew it. You knew at some point in the week it was coming on.
Yeah, he was going to get to see Mr. T.
The episodes were in no way, unless it was a two-parter, they were in no way connected to each other.
Right.
So if you missed an episode, you knew it was going to catch the rerun.
Mm-hmm.
TV now, it's appointment television.
It is. I had a discussion with somebody because we're talking about True Detective. The flip side of that would be a show like CSI or Law and Order or any of those shows. Yeah. There's a beauty to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're not my kind of shows, and I don't really watch
them. I love
them.
Law and Order.
But you can flip over to an episode of Law and Order with 10 minutes left in it.
Yeah.
And figure out what's going on.
Yes.
There's a beauty to writing that.
Yeah, yeah.
They are constantly catching you up on what's happening here.
Yeah.
Here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. And 10 minutes left in the show, I've turned it over to some of those things and knew within a minute what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a beauty to that as well. Those shows are written for syndication.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. They're not connected to one another, but they might have a little story arc running between them.
Right, right.
And if they got that multiple episode story arc, they update you and remind you.
Yeah. But like today, you can't. You can't
miss an episode of Game of Thrones.
Nah.
And then watch the next episode.
You'd be like, what happened?
What happened?
Yeah. What in the world happened? And here's the thing. With DVR, you're DVRing it, or your most shows now, you can go watch them on the HBO website, HBO Go or
I'm A&E. Too cheap. I don't have any of that. I bought True Detective.
Are you bought
it,
yeah.
when it came out? Because I mean, I would rather just pay the $25 once than pay $25 a month.
Yeah. See, you but know? Like, I probably should not make this confession. When I heard about True Detective, I ordered HBO.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I ordered it. We didn't
just
have
to
it.
Watch
the,
that.
I ordered it. I was so pumped for that show.
Huh.
And didn't know a lot. I was like, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, boom, I'm in.
I'm in. That's all I need
I'm to in. Know. And, you know, and now, obviously, is there some stuff in that show I could have done without? Yeah. That was right. the theme. But, you know, to me, I think that, I don't think there was anything in that show, as far as the evil that was done in that show, that's far-fetched. I mean.
No, it happens.
We live, yeah.
It happens. My father was yeah. a homicide detective.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a police officer and he was a homicide detective. And some of that behavior in those guys was dead on. I mean, I've seen yeah. him at 2 o'clock in the morning get up to go to the bathroom and he'd be sitting in the dark because of what he saw that day.
Yeah.
Him just sitting there, maybe drinking a beer with yeah. the lights off and the TV off, processing what he had to see that day, what he'd pulled out of a well.
Yeah.
Or what they drug up off the bottom of a lake.
Yeah.
That stuff happens. Yeah. It's real.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you having a father who was a policeman, you've been inside that.
Oh, listen, man, he used to have a box full of records, and not records like you play, but I mean his records from cases, and yeah. I found it flipping through it one day and found some pictures.
Oh, wow.
Of a deceased woman, and I mean, I was young.
Oh, wow.
And it scarred me a little bit.
Really?
I wished, it's one of those things I can't unsee.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I wish that I could.
Yeah.
And I remember him, don't you ever go in there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
My stuff like that again.
And I think we don't take, you know, when we think about, and we always say, hey, these people are hero. I mean, these
right.
are heroes, and I think we don't take it. They're not necessarily a hero because they are a hero because they're running in and saving people, but just the things they have to put up with
yeah.
in life and manage.
Because they have all the stuff that you and I have going on.
Plus
this highly stressful profession that they're in. That
yeah.
they're in.
Yeah.
It's a tough life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of alcoholism and things
yeah.
like that in police officers.
Yeah.
Heavy smoking and, you know, it's a bad diet.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. That, there's a lot of things about that lifestyle that I don't think people understand.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant on that.
So here's the thing. We went off topic. We're the Double Dropkick Show. We talk about the wrestling you grew up with. Today we talked about the summer movies and the TV shows you grew up with.
And some TV shows you just need to go watch.
Yes. So
Bates Motel, by the way.
Have not, why not?
Great,
not a horror guy.
Great,
not,
great show, though.
Not a horror.
Incredible, man. Oh, I love it.
I'm going to stick to Nickelodeon.
Well, keep on watching SpongeBob. Then, Rick Martell.
Oh my goodness. So here's what you need to do. You need to comment. Let us know what movies we left out. Let Mark know. Absolutely let Mark know that he is wrong about Superman Returns. Let me know if I'm wrong about, was Transformers 3 a work of art? Let me know. Let me know if I'm wrong. Hey, where were you at when you saw Independence Day? Hey, maybe you're a kid. Maybe you're listening to this. You've never seen it. You go watch Independence Day. Let us know. Guys,
that's, right.
that's a great movie. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for introducing me to Will Smith, who's phenomenal in that movie. Great, great movie. So, Double Drop
Kick. Watch Jaws. Go watch Jaws.
Go watch
and
Jaws.
And if you haven't seen Star Wars, please go watch the first couple of Star Wars.
If Empire you have not Strikes seen Back, Star Wars.
Go watch Empire Strikes Back.
Go into your mother's else. Basement. Get the VHS. Just make it happen. Click on that banner. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Facebook.
At the DDK Show on Twitter.
At Heath Mulliken. Join the conversation. What are you watching? What's good on TV? I just started watching the show Longmire. Love it.
Yeah, I heard
great
it.
Great show. Just finished the first season last night and enjoyed it pretty good. Lou Diamond Phillips, great. Great on that show. Now, there's a guy that's underrated, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah.
La Bamba. Okay. So.
I didn't even talk about Schwarzenegger, who was also one of my other favorites. We're going to save that for another show.
Do it now. Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper.
So anyway, this has been the Double Drop Kick Show, the summer movies you grew up with. As always, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And we will see you at the movies.
I'm just going to get you wound up. And I'm probably going to bring it around to talk about True Detective too.